Hey, besties. My name's Lisa.
And my name's Tamara, and we're BFFs.
Tamara and I met when we were about 12 years old, growing up in good old Fairbanks, Alaska.
And we've been best friends forever since.
That's right. And that's why we've decided to have some fun, friendly conversations with the bestest of best friends.
We'll talk about how we became best friends, our experiences together, and have other best friends on the show to share how they met.
Who knows? You never know when you'll meet your next BFF.
Now let's get into it, how I met my BFF.
Welcome to another episode of How I Met My BFF. Hey, Tamara.
Hey, Lisa. How's it going?
It's good. I heard you've been out in the vineyard this last week. How's that going?
I've been out in the vineyard for a number of weeks right now, off and on. It has been great. The weather this week hasn't been the most cooperative, but I think we got most of our 8 acres of grapes almost pruned the first stage, and I love it out there. Each vine has a story, so I've been in heaven. So I've been happy about that. But I hear that you have a 21-year-old. I cannot believe that.
I do. I can't believe it either. I know. She is so cute. So we did our first round of celebrating. Next round is tomorrow. But first round of celebrating, we did our family dinner, and her boyfriend had taken her out to breakfast and lunch or whatever. He took her out for the day. And they went and ordered the first drink, and the whole restaurant gave her was applauding because the bartender was like, "We got a 21-year-old," and she was happily able to, give the ID. And it's pretty funny because she doesn't drink. Like I said before, she doesn't drink. But she must have gotten that from her dad. So yay! she had a mango margarita when we went to the restaurant for dinner, and she didn't even finish it. Ah, rookie. But I just let it go. I didn't finish it, and I didn't say anything. So I'm glad she doesn't take after me in that regard. But we're going to go dancing tomorrow night. That should be fun.
Oh, I wish I could be there.
I know. It'll be so fun. We're going to be in Newport Beach. And I think, or it's either Costa Mesa or Newport Beach. Anyway, should be fun. We're going to be at the Harp Inn, literally an Irish pub with a live band. So now when you guys hear who our guests are, I'm taking a flyer on this band. I have never seen them before. They say on their site that they get everyone up and dancing. So we're going to find out, and I won't even name them just in case, but we're going to find out how it goes. And I'm really hoping they pull through. Cause I got a bunch of 21-year-olds with me tomorrow night. Wow. So anyway, I'm excited for our guest today. Cause we got some guys in the house and they're talking about, this is something Tamara and I've talked about over, the years of the show throughout when we have our concert seasons. We both, live in different states, but we love going to concerts. We love live music. Even when we were in Fairbanks, Alaska, watching Night Ranger, woo-woo, the one band that would actually come up to that area, God bless their souls. And, we've been enjoying live music ever since. So we're really excited. Jay and Kyle, welcome to the show. We can't wait to hear about your story.
Well, thanks for having us. We are so excited to be here. Thank you. Can we hear a little bit about Night Ranger real quick?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I think I was a sophomore in high school. So this is 1980 something. I don't know. And they came up to Fairbanks, Alaska. And I was like, finally, I was like old enough as a 15-year-old to know someone I know is coming to our city, and they played in the gymnasium of the university. It was just standing room only. There was no seats. You just stood up, and it was this gym full of teenagers and people, and probably everybody. And I just, even now, I think I like Sister Christian, and I've actually seen them twice because the second time they came, they played at the roller rink. You probably heard about that concert. And it was insane. Anyway, that's what I remember. Tamara, what do you remember?
I don't know if I went to that particular concert. I can't say I'm a huge Night Ranger
I know.
Fan, well, no. But we, I do remember Warren. I mean,
it looks like they're still playing right now. Looks like you go see them.
I think I can still only name one song, Sister Christian. But wait, but Tamara, I think you were at the one at the university because I feel like the Maybe. Person you were dating at that time was there. And so I feel like you were there. And I don't remember you at the roller rink one, though. I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was the roller rink. Working.
But I'm sure you can still catch them at a roller rink today. You find them somewhere.
Probably. They're, probably at, up in Fairbanks, Alaska at the roller rink.
If you go to Jackson, Mississippi, you can get them at the Optimist Ice Arena.
Hey, close enough. Oh, my gosh.
Close enough.
Well,
if you want to go to Shakopee, Minnesota, it's at the Canterbury Park Casino and Horse Track.
That's so, been on my bucket list. So I will give Fairbanks a little bit more props because later, a couple years later, one of the best concerts I loved was Great White and Bad Company. Now they played at the ice rink. Obviously there was, it was covered. That concert was awesome. Am I remembering that right? It was it Damn Yankees and Wow.
I thought it was Warrant, but I don't, they're all.
No, Warrant played at the auditorium at our high school in Fairbanks.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Which is crazy. He's my cherry pie. What are you talking about?
Of course,
we went to that. I mean, I was at our high school. It was at our high school. How cool is that? Warrant comes to your high school. I mean, still.
Well, Bon Jovi came to Anchorage. I got to see that. Lisa was not there, but that was great. So, 80s, baby.
We could go on and on, you guys.
Love it.
So,
love the 80s.
But we want to hear about you. So, okay. You guys became best friends 25 years ago. Tell us how you met. We're not going to fact check that, but how did you meet? Kyle, tell us how you guys met.
Yeah. So we met at college. I was a freshman and Jay was a sophomore. So he was there a year longer than me. And, I was probably, never going to leave my dorm room unless somebody dragged me out. Cause I'm a bit of a homebody introvert type, believe it or not. And, so I'm sitting in my room. I'm watching Rocky III. Don't ask me why I remember, but I'm watching Rocky III and pow, bom, 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 banging on my door. And I opened the door. It's Jay Watson. Now Jay and I had crossed paths, but we weren't what you would say friends at this point. And basically a mutual friend, kind of sixth J on me was like, hey man, go get Kyle out of his room. Go let him experience college a little bit. Cause otherwise, I might still be sitting in that dorm room today watching movies if he hadn't pulled me out. So yeah. So that was our very first kind of meeting. And he basically was like, hey man, come on out. Let's have some fun. Let's go be friends. Let's do it. I was like, okay, I need friends. Sounds fun.
Oh, I love that. And what college was this? What university?
We went to a little tiny school in Jackson, Tennessee called Union University. Really, really small little college. But
okay.
UU, cool. Yeah. The U. We love it. This is a great, great experience, great place.
Love it. Okay, now Jay, tell us your side of the story so we can fill it in.
I mean, he more or less nailed it. I'm a extrovert's extrovert. I could talk to, this garage door over here if I wanted to. Kyle is a middle of the road introvert. Like he doesn't mind people, but if it was his choice, he would live in his brain, his entire life. And it's a wonderful brain. I'm a fan. I was in a fraternity. I was an SAE and, Kyle's acquaintance that he knew and knew me, he spent some time with him before he came to college. And so when he was there, he was kind of on my radar and I'd kind of been told that we had similar interests. And so I pretty much did. I walked in his door. I knocked on his door. I was like, hey man, come on outside. Let's go. And I just kind of took him with me for a while until, I discovered that, we have so many similar interests. We ended up, talking about Kyle may not have talked to too many people in college in the first year, but, before too long, he was all over the place and he was in leadership positions on the campus. And I got to kind of watch him go from that introvert to kind of taking the place over. And it was awesome. And we have so many things in common. We still to this day probably talk, if not every day, close, like every couple of days for sure.
Text oh for my sure. Gosh, every day. Yeah. We text every day. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I love that story. So I love that you had the college experience and started to realize you had stuff in common. But then it takes more than that to become best friends and make it last decades. So what about your relationship became best friend status and had the longevity? Jay, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know that we've been asked that. I think that we had a lot of similar interests, and I think that our paths were kind of heading in a similar direction with our major and stuff like that. And we both went to graduate school at the same place as well. And so when you get 7 years of experience in somebody's life that way, where, you know, it's one thing when you meet your best friends in 12, I've got three best buddies I grew up with since kindergarten. You know those guys you two know each other in such a way where early on it was like, you know, you're hanging out, you're friends, you're close. But when you go to college, you're with somebody almost, I don't know, 18, 19 hours a day. And the friendship kind of is a bigger bond much quicker. And we did that in college, and then we did it in seminary, and we just always kept up. Kyle is married to one of my elementary and high school friends. And so we just have a lot of connections, a lot of overpath. And we love movies. We love music. We love TV. We love to talk about that stuff. So there we have been accused of talking about that and not really talking about our families or anything else. But we do. We have a lot in common, and we enjoy talking to each other. And he's been with me through some difficult times. I've been with him through a few, and it's just always somebody that I knew I could count on.
Well, that's really the story, honestly, is Jay is an incredible friend, and he connects with people on such a deep level. And so I'm sure there's like probably 50 people out there saying, Jay's my best friend, but you know, whether they aren't, because the way he makes people feel, the way he connects with people, the way he, you know, really gets down, you know, to really what's important. And so, you know, he and I connected on, you know, just what our interests are, music, movies, pop culture, whatever, those sort of things. But it was really sort of the deep stuff that we, you know, kind of the deep waters that we swam in together, you know, and, you know, just kind of grew to be really close. And then the proximity, I mean, even once we left from Little Jackson, Tennessee, went to Birmingham, Alabama, and, you know, we lived in the same apartment complex for a time. And so, you know, I was eating at his house, and we were swimming in the same apartment pool, you know, having fun and, you know, just goofing off and have, you know, great times. So, yeah, I mean, just a lot of life lived together, but also just a really deep connection that, you know, happened really early.
Also, I'll say this, Kyle doesn't change easily. He's the most loyal person when it comes to things. Like he is in love with the same band and has been since he was probably 8. When he decides a thing, it's the thing until the thing is probably dead. And so, you know, I think I kind of realized early on that I was probably in it for the long haul with old Wiltshire.
I'm highly monogamous.
Karen, I literally just had, I was teasing her, as I have been since we were 12, about her love for the original Planet of the Apes movie. She has loved it since when she saw it, and she still puts that stake right in the ground. And I'm like, really? Still? Wow. We're absolutely. Still, and she will die on that hill, man.
And you're talking about all of them?
No. Very specifically, she's talking about the first one.
You're talking Charlton Heston on the beach. They threw it up.
That's the one. Yes.
Yeah.
Damn you. Wow. Okay. Damn you all to hell. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay. And I'm not saying it's not good, but just she loves that movie.
No, I think we can accept that answer. I was going to be very concerned if we're talking about the greater series as a whole before Matt Reeves stuff. So that helps me quite a bit.
Thank you for your concern. I understand that, but no, I agree with what you're saying. But yes, I still, the first one, my daughter was talking about seeing, I guess there's a new one coming out.
Yeah.
And I was like, you have to watch the first one though. It's so important. She still hasn't watched it. And so, yes, we were having a deep discussion last night about my concern that all these people are seeing these new Planet of the Apes movies, but haven't seen the first original one. And yes, it might be slow. It might be, you know, from the 60s, but you have to see it. Like, it's the foundation of all.
There's no judgment. No judgment here. It's great. I'm just curious. Okay. Have you seen Marky Mark's version?
I have. I actually was living on the Big Island when that was filmed. Most of that was filmed there. So, yeah, I've enjoyed the newer ones, but, you know, there's nothing like that first one. Oh, I don't know.
No, yeah, I get some good vibrations for sure. That's good. Good vibrations.
Okay. See what you did there. Brought it right on back. We're back to music. And if y'all didn't get that. okay. So, yeah. So then you guys decide to write a book about dead rock stars. And I mean, I read some of how it happened, but I know not everyone who's listening, our besties, haven't heard the origin story of how this started. So Kyle, do you want to let us know what happened and how did this book get born?
Well, Jay and I are, you know, we've kind of alluded to this, but we're super nerds and, you know, you can't watch, you know, movies like Planet of the Apes or whatever series that you enjoy. Ours happened to be Highlander back in the day and watch it and go,
Hold on a second. I don't think we can pin our friendship to Highlander.
No.
We went on a trip where we decided to watch all the worst movies ever, and Highlander was on that list. So just to be clear.
Yes. What you know, you can't watch the movies that we have watched over the years and not think, you know what? I think we might could do a better job than that one. You know, like that was pretty rough. I think we could do a better job. And so we would often pitch one another stories and ideas and just kind of jokingly, you know, hey, what about this? What about that? You know, and just these little random snippet ideas of a story. And so, you know, Jay kind of alluded to this. I sort of live in my brain. I've always kind of got things, wheels turn in. And so I started to piece together the idea of this story for a lot of years, actually. And so one day I just worked up the courage to tell him, to pitch him the idea, say, hey, what if we wrote a story about all these rock stars that we love so much that tragically passed away too soon? What if they didn't? What if they faked their deaths and they became secret agents and they've been protecting the world for decades? And, you know, Jay kind of, I remember he kind of paused. This may be apocryphal, but this is how I remember it. He kind of paused and was like, Kyle, that's not $1 million idea. That's a $1 billion universe. We have to write this. And so that was sort of, you know, how it kind of began, but Jay was really the engine that got us, you know, that got us really moving and going. If you want to share about that, Jay.
I think that's all exactly right. Like, I had written a small self-published thing before. I think Kyle and I's dream would be to make a movie, but we don't know how to make a movie. And so we decided to write a story, and we looked a little bit into screenwriting, and that even seemed complicated. We're like, we're just going to try it. You know, I was like, just, let's try it. Let's try to do something. We actually talked about it for a couple of weeks, and I couldn't get rid of it. I started to kind of have dreams about it and think about it, and didn't move on like some of the other stories we talked about. And just this idea of kind of a Men in Black, you know, silly thing, or Kingsman, just silly fun. And what if we use these people that everybody loves, everybody wishes was still around? And what if we were able to kind of give them a second life that's fun and silly, but at the same time, it's still kind of a pretty good picture of who they are, who they would be during this time. And we started to write. I wrote a couple chapters. Kyle wrote a couple chapters, and we got pretty excited about 10 chapters in. We were like, this is a thing. We can do this. And we plugged away for a few years. And once it was finally done, we were both really proud of what we had written. Like, we feel really good about our story. Continuity, plot points, plot holes, fun. Those were all things that we really were concerned about because we had picked apart all these other movies. And so we were really excited. We were done, and we're proud of what we've written.
Did you have like an idea of how it was going to end before at the beginning, or, and you just needed to get there, or did how it ended start to evolve as you were writing? I mean, I'm so curious about that.
Yeah, it was kind of a both and. I mean, we had the premise, but then we, you know, We kind of started writing without really knowing exactly where the end was, but it happened pretty early within the first few chapters where we decided, you know, this is where we want to end. This is basically what I think where we need to end the story. And we just need to write to that end. Now, we didn't map out every chapter. You know, we kind of did it maybe in like quarters we'd map out like a quarter of the book. And so this needs to go, you know, this needs to happen, then this needs to happen, those sort of things. And like Jay said, we would take turns writing chapters, we'd exchange chapters. And, you know, we had a Google Doc with a color coding system. You know, green was great, yellow was I don't know, and red was I hate this, you know. And so we would make comments about one another's writing about, you know, man, I love this idea, or let's work on this idea, or man, I can't stand this, we got to get rid of this. And it just became a exercise in, you know, in compromise and in patience and in just, you know, trusting one another, like, you know, trusting my taste, he trusting my taste, I trusting his taste. And ultimately our goal was the same. We want to tell a great story. So it was really pretty easy, honestly, when it was all said and done, to say, well, this doesn't really work, so let's take it out. We need to add this in. We need to shorten this. We need to lengthen this. You know, so all those little things just kind of all worked together. And it was really pretty, honestly, surprisingly easy. I mean, it wasn't easy to write a book, but it was surprisingly easy to work together, the process of working together to write a book.
Love that. Jay, how did you guys decide which dead rock stars are going to make it to the book? Because I was like, oh my gosh, there's like so many great choices. And I saw some of the names on the site. I don't know if those were the ones that made it into the book, but how did you?
Yeah, who's your main characters?
So as we mentioned earlier, we're Tennessee boys, and Kyle spent some time in Memphis, Tennessee. And there is one particular person that's from Memphis, Tennessee, that is ever present still to this day. And so we both have a love for Elvis, and we loved the thought of, he always in real life wanted to be some type of a secret agent or he's got badges from all these different cities that he played in. And the famous story about him going to see Nixon to be on the Drug Enforcement Agency and all those things. And we just kind of love the idea of him leading the team in 1999. And so our story is set in 1999, and that kind of gave us some guide rails as to who we could use. Also, you've got the 27 Club. And so most of these people that died too early in the 27 Club by 1999 are of a age that is still, they're still ambulatory, if you will. You know, yeah. if Harrison Ford is playing Indiana Jones at 80, then Elvis can lead a team at 62 or whatever he is. And so that's kind of the idea that we kind of started with. And we wanted to create kind of a super team. You know, every good secret agent has a team, and all the teams have different roles. And so we began to think about who would do what, you know, and think about the personalities of certain people. And there's some folks we just didn't know and we learned about, but we were able to add a lot of the rock stars that you could think of, with the exception of a few that we're holding off for future stories. But, you know, I don't know, Kyle, do you want to tell a few, or we keep that, we stay spoiler free?
Well, Tamara asked who our main character was, and yeah, we actually, our main character in the story is actually not a dead rock star. We realized that most of these stories where you're going into a universe that you don't know exists, and, you know, this is really, you know, high praise, but, you know, like Harry Potter or Star Wars, you know, like there's got to be somebody who you can see the world through their eyes, because you don't know what the Force is. You don't know what a Muggle is, you know? And so you need someone to be able to explain these things. So we decided to create a character who was totally fictitious, totally, you know, a made up person named Cole Denton. So he's actually the main character of our story. He's not a rock star. He is a cutting edge technology guy in 1999. So like an Elon Musk or a Mark Zuckerberg, one of these people who, early adopters of the internet, figure it out before everybody else and can see where it's going. That's Cole Denton. And so he's actually the main character, and the dead rock stars kind of are, you know, they come around and they, you know, there's something they're trying to figure out. There's a, you know, there's a task they're trying to do, and they look to a tech star because they don't know, you know, there's something that they need that they don't have. And so they look to a tech star to help them solve a problem and defend the world. So that's kind of a little bit about, you know, our main character, and a little bit about some of the people in the story. We'll leave it up to you. You know, Elvis is there. If you read the jacket, you can know a few others. But
if you want to guess a few, we can maybe confirm or deny.
Yeah, we could do that.
Well,
I have
a question that maybe hasn't been asked yet, but so because I have a couple of guesses based on what I read already. But are there any women dead rock stars in the team?
Absolutely.
There are.
Yes, okay. That narrows it down a little bit. too. Okay. I like that.
Some play a very light role. They're off doing other secret agent things. And
obviously
they may be a part of other stories, but then there's one in particular who's a pretty significant main part of our story.
I'm thinking like an Ocean's 11 where it's like there's this crack team, yes, but then there's what is it, Ocean 17 or whatever one with all the women in it finally.
There's a lot of oceans. A whole lot of oceans.
A lot of oceans. A lot of oceans.
I was going to ask if Prince might have some time in your book just because it's set in 1999 and I don't know, just was when I went, I haven't read anything about anything, so.
Yeah. But he didn't die before 1999.
Right.
Well, no, Prince but he died. Wrote the song.
Well,
I was connecting random.
You are on it. You are closer than you think. In our very first chapter, there is a reference to Prince. So just,
So we learned some things. One of the things we learned was you can't put music quotes in a book unless you want to get sued a lot. And so we learned pretty quickly that all of the music quotes that we had in the book, all the hundreds and hundreds of them, needed to be tweaked so that you could get the gist of what we were talking about, but not actually quote a song. And so we made a Spotify playlist that goes chronologically from chapter one to the end of all these songs. And it's a mixture of these artists plus songs in 1999 that would be relevant. And so it's pretty cool.
I'm going to take a wild stab. Is the playlist called Dead Rock Stars Playlist or Dead Rock Stars Book Playlist? What's
it
called?
I think it's the Dead Rock Stars. I think I can't remember, but I think it's the Dead Rock Stars. Yeah. So yeah, check that out on Spotify.
I love that. I don't know if you remember, Lisa, but as a joke to my friends back in the day when, what is the book that, I'm totally blanking out. I made a playlist so they could, as they're reading the book, they could listen to the playlist. It was a joke, but I love the fact that you guys connected a playlist with your book. I love that. So I can't, I'll have to download that immediately. But
yeah, check it out. It's very eclectic. A lot of music. You're like, wow, what is this doing in this book? And so you have to read it to find out. But
Kyle, what song won?
I think it's, That'll Be the Day, Buddy Holly. That'll Be the Day.
And then what song two?
I think it's 1999, Prince. I think. And then, I'm not positive.
And then song three.
It's something Elvis, Heartbreak Hotel, maybe.
Yeah. I'm trying to get to the one that is on the MP3 player.
Yeah. Living La Vida Loca is the.
Yeah. So it's all over the place. We feel like Elvis Presley would really love Ricky Martin and Living La Vida Loca. We feel like that would be a song he would even do. So we.
100%.
You know, of course, musicians are also admirers of modern music.
So just a heads up, I couldn't find the playlist, but I found your podcast. So when this is over, email me the playlist name and then we can put that in the show notes because I think a lot of people would love to hear not only your podcast, but your playlist because it sounds like an
absolutely
amazing.
I think Kyle's hunting it down right now.
I'm going to look it up now. We're going to find it.
I'm going to put Cody on the case. I love it. So what music do you guys like now? Like any kind of current music that you're fans of?
I'll speak for Kyle while he's studying. Kyle is a giant fan of U2. He has been to over 10 concerts. He listens to every song that they've ever done. Could probably tell you if you named a song what album it was on. Like, and this, we're talking hundreds of songs they put out over the last four decades. He loves that band. He turned me on to them. But Kyle is again a perpetual monogamist, and so it is U2, and it is very few other bands. He listens to if the band is like 20 years old, he'll give them a chance. But before then, he's not really up on the modern stuff. I'm kind of the opposite. I love some very specific genres, but I love everything new. I'm a consumer. Like I like to consume. I like to find out about it, and I like to tell other people about it. So, alternative music, indie pop, some folk, some Americana, some rock, some pop. I get really excited about all those things.
That's so fun. Yeah. So Kyle, did you go to the Sphere yet in Vegas? Did you see
I missed it. I wasn't able to do it. And it's so heartbreaking because that is my absolute favorite album, Octune Baby, that they played start to finish in that show. So I'm so heartbroken. I was too young to go to Zoo TV in the early 90s when it toured. So this was like, this was my chance, you know, and I couldn't make it happen. But I gotta say, that was three quarters U2. That was not 100% U2, because Larry is the real drummer. And I know he's hurt. He couldn't, you know, so I'm really inside really baseball right now. But
it doesn't yes. count. Yeah.
I guess so. It pained me not to go. I really wanted to see it, but I couldn't do it.
All right. Do you guys have any live shows that you're going to go see? Do you like to go to live music?
I used to till I got old. It's so uncomfortable. Concerts are so uncomfortable. When you're 45, I'm like, do I have to stand this whole time? You know, can I get an aisle seat so I'm not crammed in the middle with all these kids? You know, like, I'm just being honest. Just you know.
Okay. If it's honest. Too loud, you're too old. Okay.
For me, one of the more famous concert venue halls in America is the Ryman Auditorium. And it's used to be an old church. They call it the Mother Church. And it is just one of the coolest places ever to go see bands. I've seen lots of great bands there. So I try to be paying attention to who's showing up there so I can go sit at the Mother Church. And then big acts. My daughter is a singer-songwriter. She's young and she's has a burgeoning career. But we try to go see stuff she likes. And so in October, we're going to be going to see 21 Pilots, and that'll be in Bridgestone. And then I think Billie Eilish is coming, and the Kings of Leon and some of those folks. And so we're going to try to do that. And I almost made it to Memphis's festival that's happening this weekend, and Jelly Roll was going to be there. So I was kind of interested to see what that was like. And then the Fugees. And so I almost made it to that, but I try to go see shows that I really need to see. And then I go see a lot of comedy shows. Those are the things that I go to the arenas for that, to kind of see the professionals. I'm always fascinated by someone that can speak for an hour, hour and a half, and everyone be glued to every word.
We saw Nate Borghese's tour. He's so funny. Oh my gosh, he was so funny. And that was really good. Like, took my mom. She loves Nate Borghese. So we saw him, and
he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's from Nashville. And so when he did his, you were at that show, weren't you, Kyle?
Yeah, the Bridgestone show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a good 20, 25 minutes on Nashville, like, you know, when I was growing up, and we're about the same age. And so it was just, he's fantastic.
He's really funny. And then we go to a lot of concerts. I just saw Madonna. I'd never seen her in concert before. Always been a fan since fifth grade, fourth grade, whenever borderline I first heard that song. Been a fan ever since. And so we had to stand up the whole time. The auditorium was so hot. Oh my God. It was at the Forum in LA. It was baking in there, but she was dancing. So I can, you know, I can't complain. She's up there doing it. And
still
then
after it, huh?
She brought it. She brought it. And then I'm seeing Justin Timberlake in a couple of weeks. So we'll usually sprinkle in like a big show like that. And then we'll try to go to like local stuff. And we've got a couple other ones this summer.
What kind of music do you like? I mean, obviously pop, but what else?
Well,
Night Ranger.
Night Ranger is my favorite band. I go the gamut. I mean, like, say for Christmas music, the only Christmas album I own is Elvis. So I am also a big Elvis fan, and I love disco, and I love the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. I'm kind of like we're climbing up, and Cat Stevens, and you know, I don't know, and then when we get into the 80s, the pop, of course, but then the hard rock. I've been like Hairband Nation forever. I love Def Leppard, Great White, The Scorpions. And then we move into alternative, love or grunge.
You're there for it. You're just there for
Eddie
it.
Vedder is my boyfriend. And I know he's married.
Do you like the new album?
I haven't listened to it yet. I know I need to listen to it. I need to listen to it. I know. I need to listen to it. It's so funny. Like, now that I'm older, like younger, you're like, I got to go get the record. And just, right. I know everyone's with Taylor Swift. They're all like staying up till 2 a.m. to listen to her 31 songs. I'm just
32.
Sorry. 32. 30 plus. So I just haven't like put on a brand new album in a billion years, you know?
Yeah.
Listen to it.
No, I get it. Yeah.
So I'm kind of out of practice with that. Yeah. And then I like, I do UGEM fitness, so I'm always kind of up on what's going on I don't usually know who they are, but I know the song. So I don't know. Tamara's like a volume times a million in her music. She knows all kinds of stuff that I've never heard of.
Thank you.
So I just let her be in control of the playlist. Which Tamara, is funny. If I'm not with Tamara, I'm in control of the playlist and I take it very seriously.
I've taught Lisa well.
But Tamara, she's better than me.
The newest band that I just started listening to today, they just put out a single, is Brother Elzy. You should check them out. E-L-S-E-Y, Brother Elzy.
What's the song? That sounds familiar.
They've got a couple songs, but this new one is brand new today. It's called Red Tape.
Okay.
Let's see. The big song, I guess, would be, I'm not sure. I'm not pulling it up quick enough, but I like them. Okay. I like the way they sound. They're cool.
Okay, cool. I like it. Out.
I was going to ask you to, and Kyle, you can give your answer first, but I take it you guys have gone to concerts together. What has been your favorite concert and why that you've gone together?
Yeah, man, besides you two. Oh gosh, there's got to be Coldplay then. We saw Coldplay in 2009, I think, when they were on their Viva La Vida tour. And that was awesome seeing those guys, like, you know, right in their prime, you know, before they got weird. The old guy coming out and me, you know, man, they got weird, you know, but no, I love their older stuff. The people say that about you too. They're like, oh, I hate the new stuff. But, you know, so yeah, that was, I think that's my favorite show, was Coldplay that we saw together. We were supposed to go see Arcade Fire and I think I got sick or something. And so we couldn't go, but, there's been a couple of shows that we've done.
That was probably my number one favorite show of all time, is that Arcade Fire concert that you missed in Atlanta, Georgia. Sorry about that, Kyle.
Best concert ever.
Where did you see Coldplay at?
It was here in Nashville. Yeah, we saw them at the at Bridgestone Arena, the big, you know, is where they do the hockey and basketball and everything. So it's for Nashville being a music town, it's not a great venue for acoustics, but it's a lot of fun, you know, it's right there downtown, right, you know, next to where everything's hopping, everything's going on. So it's a fun place to watch a show, not a great place to watch a show for the sound.
Now, I know you guys both live near each other. And do you get, and you talk every day, do you get to see each other on a regular basis as well?
You know, as our families have gotten more progressively busy, I think it's hard to get to see each other. Nashville has grown such that, you know, I'm in the suburb in the south, he's in the north. It takes over an hour for us to get together. And sometimes if we, you know, hold our breath just right, we can figure out a lunch somewhere in between. And it usually works out pretty good. But I mean, we do, between podcasts and messaging, we're still talking all the time, and we're talking about our book and we're talking about stuff we're watching, and we're kind of together without being together. We'll squeeze a lunch in every once in a while.
So if you were together, like after this podcast, what would you guys do together?
I will call him about 30 seconds after this podcast is over. We will giggle about something. And I don't really know what that would be for this one. This has been awesome. And then we'd probably talk, Kyle at some point would say, hey man, I got to go. And that would be it. But we would probably talk about, I don't know, whatever the latest Star Wars was or whatever movie we're watching, or, you know, one amazing thing one of our kids have done that's just ridiculous. Like Kyle has is it your oldest or your middle one that's all about the Prime?
Yeah, it's my middle son. Yeah, he loves the Prime energy drink, or just the Prime drink, whatever, Logan Paul stuff.
He's a collector of Prime energy drinks, and I got to see his collection. I didn't know. I have no idea. I still don't know. It's a can. It's a can that he thinks is cool. And so we got to enjoy that. And, you know, I'll talk about whatever my girls are doing there. They're graduating this year. I've got twins. And so, you know, we cover the gamut usually.
Wow.
If we're actually doing something, we'd probably go play Frisbee golf. Jay loves Frisbee golf.
Yeah.
He's an architect. He's built a course. So that. That's something we might would do if we were, hey, let's get out of the house. Let's go stretch our legs. Let's go do something fun.
We definitely probably saw almost every movie together from, I don't know, 97 to 2000 and what? Three, four?
Three. Yeah. We might go to the movies. Yeah. That's very likely something we would do.
Are your partners allowed to go to the movies with you guys, or how does that work?
More times than not,
Lisa.
The choices that we make are not things that people are interested in. Got so it.
They're like, have fun, guys.
Yeah. We'll go see Paul Thomas Anderson, or we'll go see, you know, Wes Anderson, any Anderson we'll go see. And then, you know, we're going to go see whatever the science fiction or superhero thing is. And more times than not, that's just us and maybe a kid or two. And it's gotten a lot harder to get up there for a movie or get down here for a movie. So we don't do that as much as we used to.
Oh, how fun.
One of the questions I have kind of back to friendship, because, you know, we don't have guys on the majority of time, and a lot of response I get from guys when I talk to them about, oh, you know, I do this podcast about best friends is, you know, a lot of them have said to me, it's really hard to maintain a friendship, especially in adult life as a man. And I hope that we can show that that's not the case, but what are your thoughts on maintaining a friendship? So you guys have been at it for a while.
I think that one of the more serious crises in our culture today is men and friendships. Most men that you talk to it's their wife, it's their kids, and it's people at work. Maybe a neighbor that they'll sit outside and drink a beer with. They don't have close friendships. And so I think, like, right now I'm going through an extremely difficult season in life, and my closest friends are the ones that are helping me to just exist day to day. And I just think it's probably one of the more valuable things that men need. And I think it's something that they don't have and don't know how to do. You were earlier when we talked, you were saying, I think we're the third men that's been on your podcast or whatever. And, it's exciting. I don't know if we're 3 and 4 or we're just third collectively, but we're excited to be in the top five. I think one thing that is pretty different for Kyle and I, we are both emotionally in tune with kind of our feelings. And in general, men don't know how to handle their feelings. And so that's something that I hope to spend the rest of my life kind of working on a little bit. But, you know, for now, I think we try to practice connection. And the best way I've found that we do that is we tend to talk about the surface stuff, but it's when we really get to talk about deeper things that most men don't talk about. Those are the things that usually connect us the most. If we attempt to be authentic and we attempt to actually share some of our fears, our concerns, our pains, it's quite a bit different. Now, one of my high school friends just had a birthday, and we were all, five of us were sitting at the table, and we started talking about colonoscopies, and we started talking about prostate exams, and we started talking about, you know, reading. Somebody pulled out reading glasses, and the other ones were like, you know, holding their menu up like way out here. And so it was like the first official old person luncheon I think we had. But talking about that stuff is not what I mean. I think it's much more talking about things that you don't want to talk about with other guys. And I think when you start to do that, when you start to share some vulnerabilities, I think it truly bonds people together.
Yeah, I would say it takes great, great intentionality. You know, it doesn't, you don't just stumble into it. You've got to intentionally, as guys, pursue friendship. You know, I tease my wife all the time. She goes from zero to a counseling session as fast as anyone I know. You know, when she runs into somebody, it's like, you know, hey, how you doing? Tell me about the darkest thing you've ever been through. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, like that. And so, you know, she's always having these deep conversations with people. And so, whereas we don't do it like that necessarily, we do intentionally talk about things that are, you know, that are going on in our lives and how we can support one another and be there for each other and help one another. And, you know, even the things that, you know, maybe that aren't so fun, you know, but there's a whole lot of fun mixed in there too. And so, you know, one of the cool things about Jay and I, we have a friend group, guys that we've been buddies with since college. And we have like a text app that we all share. And so every day we've got a million different threads and we're like, hey man, this is a funny thing. This is a funny video I saw. So we'll send it to the chain. You know, this is something I need you guys to know what I'm going through. Help, you know, go ahead, Jay.
We have a regular thread where we can say whatever we want. Then we have a serious thread so that we won't make fun of people for what they write. We have a million different other, we have a lottery thread for a Powerball for Who Wants to Be Billionaires. We have a
barbecue.
Prayer.
I think
we have a barbecue. Smoke and Sizzle is that one. Smoke and Sizzle is amazing if you want some good barbecue recipes. And then we have a prayer thread where we'll talk about concerns, and it's about 17 of us, and it's and it's a mixture of people that do all kinds of things, you know, lawyers and you know,
professors, bankers.
Doctors.
No, yeah. We don't need doctors. No, we don't need doctors. Bankers. No, yeah.
We have a couple PhDs in there.
We have a judge. We do have a judge. Yeah. He's an actual sitting judge. Yeah.
He is super cool. Helpful for getting out of tickets in one county. It's amazing.
Well, I'm sure he's never actually done that. I mean,
no, I've never experienced it. Yeah.
No, no. That's just self fictional stuff. I love that you guys are standing up for male friendship and not just talking about it, but doing it. And you're right, Kyle. I think for a lot of guys, it's really intentional. It needs to be an intention. I know my husband has lately been like, you know, inviting more guys out. He's a golf instructor, so he'll like find time to bring people out on the golf course. But even that, even though you could think, oh, that's easy, it's like coordinating it, making sure there's a tea time, letting, you know, telling people and coordinating it all and inviting somebody is vulnerable to, like, what if they say no? And what, I don't know. It's hard as an adult to make a new friend, I think. And it does take time and energy and intention. Love that.
Yeah. I'm down for some golf anytime. So when I'm in Southern California, you know, I'd love to play with him.
Yeah.
I'm really good at driving the cart. So
I am too, except for then I get bored because I'd rather be doing something else. But yeah, we can be at the club having wine or something. So you guys are delightful, and I also want to make sure everyone knows where to get your book. So let's just give that plug one more time, deadrockstarsbook.com. And you can get not only a book, I think you guys would sign it if someone bought the book from deadrockstarsbook.com, right?
That's
and
right. Signed first
swag
edition.
On there. You can get some cool swag merch, I think they call it merch, and read all about it and see if you can guess who's going to be in the book, who's going to help save the world and revisit your old
rock stars. I am so excited. I cannot wait. I see big things for you guys, movies, all sorts of stuff. So congratulations.
Mm. Well, thank you. Absolutely. Your lips to God's ear. That's what I like to say.
I'm manifesting it for you.
Thank you for being on our show. And we're going to have more guys on, Tamara. I think we need to find some more guys that are best friends that have a cool story. We want you. We want you, besties. Send your guys over to us. Until next time, have an amazing day, besties. You never know when you're going to meet your next best friend. Bye. Hey, bestie. Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button to get notified of new episodes and check out cool bestie gift ideas at howimetmybff.com.
That's right. And also leave us a review. Those reviews help us out a lot and are one of the best ways to support us.
Yes. And if you have a fun story about how you met your BFF, send us an email at info@howimetmybff.com. We would love to hear about it.
Definitely. And hey, maybe we'll have you on our next episode.
That would be awesome. Until next time.
Love ya, BFFs.